Good morning.
I hope you're enjoying your Friday so far. You're listening to the Husky Nation News Show on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. We've got the University of Connecticut's Need to Know News, thanks to UConn's own newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn's student-run TV station, UCTV. I'm your host, LJ Karam. Let's hang for a bit. This week, we kick off our coverage with a story on one of UConn's premier annual events, Huskython. This story was covered by Rebecca Mayer for the Daily Campus. This past Saturday and Sunday, hundreds of UConn students took part in the university's famous 18-hour dance marathon for charity. Huskython did what it seems to do best and broke yet another one of their fundraising records. The grand total displayed Sunday registered at a whopping $1,328,402.19, which was over $300,000 more than Huskython raised at last year's event. This is even more incredible when you note that the first year Huskython managed to crack the $500,000 milestone was only 4 years ago in 2015. The proceeds of the event were donated to Connecticut Children's Medical Center as per the Huskython website. Next up, we've got yet another development on the subject that's getting UConn students everywhere totally hot and bothered. That's right, folks. It's another story about transportation services. Ashley Anglizano covered this story for the Daily Campus. A new bus tracking app with improved functionality and shiny new features called Transloc Rider will finally be available for download this upcoming Monday. The announcement comes as Transportation Services responds to last semester's kerfuffle involving the shuffling of bus lines, among other student complaints. The app will allow users to select their preferred stops, set three arrival times, and find out how packed the bus is. You'll also be able to set separate notifications for bus arrivals, which means you'll be able to find out exactly when Silver Line can scoop you from the Oaks to take you to Nickel. The implementation of a new, more accurate bus tracking app comes as a fulfillment of a fall semester promise by Associate VP of Facilities Operations and Building Services, Mike Jednak. Some of the primary complaints of students concerning the UConn shuttle system were insufficient service and buses not arriving on time, according to the Daily Campus article. The new system gives administrators the data they need to try and improve the efficiency of the shuttles. UConn Parking Services Manager Dwight Atherton says, "We now have reports that allow us to make real-time decisions, and we use that data to plan for the future. Hopefully, this new app will help me maintain my goal of never having to run after a single bus at UConn." Now, for a story that may be stepping on the toes of my burgeoning dream to have a 24-hour diner operating at Source Center. Gabriella De Benedictis of the Daily Campus covered the trials and tribulations of parking in Stores Center and the implications they have for both business owners and patrons alike. The parking in the popular downtown-esque shopping center is run by a private company, LAZ Parking. They are responsible for maintenance of the Stores Center parking garage, as well as enforcing ticketing on those who overstay their welcome in spots on the street. From July 2017 to June 2018, LAZ Parking made $47,385.05 of profit off parking violations alone. For a private company, this may seem small when factored into their total income of $303,461.42. However, it is important to note that according to a June 2018 LAZ financial report, parking violations typically amount to $30 a pop. When put into perspective using some quick math, this means that LAZ issued round about 1,580 parking tickets during the period from July 2017 to June 2018. On average, this amounts to about 30 parking tickets per week. Small business owners in Stores Center believe this fanatical obsession with parking enforcement is choking the life from their shops and restaurants. Several notable businesses such as Froyo World, Sweet Emotions, Tang's Karaoke and Barbecue, and even the Amazon store have closed their doors in the past 2 years. Both Bliss owner Kim Cash and Grill 86 owner Mike Alderucci address the concerns of their elderly clientele when it comes to parking. Though Stores Center has a parking garage in which the first 2 hours are free, both Cash and Alderucci say they've lost the older demographic because they don't feel comfortable parking in the garage. Town of Mansfield Mayor Paul Shapiro is aware of the concerns and says there is an ongoing dialogue with the partnership and LAZ as to how we can make parking less of an obstacle. Hopefully, this issue gets resolved soon because my dad will be delighted to hear there's a chance he might not be getting charged to drop off some paper towels and almond milk for me. Now, in athletic news, former UConn basketball legend, 10-time NBA All-Star, and Naismith Basketball Hall of Famer Ray Allen is coming back to Storrs. Athletic Communications Associate Director Pat McKenna says Allen will be in the Student Union Ballroom this Sunday, March 3rd, from 10 a.m. to 11:15 a.m. to talk to our Husky communities. Attendees can see his new book called From the Outside, My Journey Through Life and the Game I Love. Afterwards, the UConn men's basketball team will be playing against the University of South Florida in Gamble Pavilion. During the game, Allen's famous number 34 will be retired. You'll be able to listen to the game right here on 91.7 FM at noon on Sunday with our fabulous broadcasting team of Matt McGrath, Ace Ricker, and Allie Urban. Now, we've got a UConn spotlight on the university's literary magazine, The Long River Review, by my girl, Catherine Cypher. This is only an excerpt, so if you want the full story, you can find it on whus.org. Let's roll the tape!
It's amazing to see how talented people really are, and then I think it's really brave to, in some way, they are getting out of their comfort zone. Like, they're taking something that they perhaps wrote on a piece of paper, and they're actually, like, publishing it. It's great.
The Long River Review is UConn's student-run literary and art magazine. Every spring, students enrolled in the English course, Literary Magazine Editing, build the year's issue of Long River Review from scratch. Students in the class split into panels. There's one for fiction and drama, one for nonfiction and multimedia, and one for poetry and translations.
Okay, hi, my name is Esther Santiago, and I'm in...
Esther Santiago is a fiction panelist.
What I do mostly with my other... staff is that we read submissions and we sort of like evaluate and we discuss if they would be like a good fit for the journal, and then we just choose the one thing.
Each panel reads the works that have been submitted by UConn students, faculty, and members of the community. The Long River Review hosts two contests, the Aetna Creative Nonfiction Awards and the Wallace Stevens Poetry Prize. The Long River Review also accepts submissions for the literary magazine that is published each spring. Once all of the submissions have been read, each panel votes on their favorites. Then, the selected pieces are prepared for publication.
We like to hear voices that aren't ordinarily heard. That's part of our like mission statement. We like to hear something unique. We want all student work that's submitted to be in, you know, their unique voice. Whatever honors that, I feel like is great.
Kelly Rafferty is a poetry panelist.
Basically, I work with a group of all the other poetry panelists, and we pick selections for the magazine, so... Right now, we've just been reading through all the contest submissions. We've also been reading through all the general submissions, and we've been selecting ones that we feel like would be a good fit for the magazine.
How exactly does the class go about creating a literary magazine from scratch?
Okay, so that's the fun part.
Ryan Amato is on the fiction panel.
So how we did it was when we got our contest submissions and the general submissions, we went through all of them. We all spent our time reading them, and then we all kind of put in our own vote on which ones we liked, which ones we didn't, and then the ones that were highest, we would come back and we would talk about, revisit, and then eventually we would just keep whittling it down until it got to our favorites.
We kind of all worked together in deciding the overall like theme of the magazine and what direction we would like to be going in, but each of the panels kind of work individually towards the latter half of the class, and generally, because this has been the time in which like submissions are being read, we would go for the last like 20 to 15 minutes of class in our panel, and we would meet, and we would have already read all the submissions the night before, and we would kind of go over and rate them and see which ones we felt like would be a good fit.
We look mostly for stories that have like a voice that is unique, a voice that, you know, something new, not something very cliche.
For WHUS News, I'm Catherine Cypher.
And now for a quick weather report before our PSA pause. Today, it'll be mostly cloudy with a high near 37, and today there's a chance of snow after 11 p.m. On Saturday, there will be a chance of snow mainly before noon and patchy fog before 8 a.m. Stay tuned after the break for the discussion portion of the show, where I've got yet another very cool, very dope friend in the studio with me.
I'm Gabriella from the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, and you're listening to WHUS Storrs.
And we're back. As promised, we're going to be moving on to our discussion segment, but as a disclaimer, please note that from this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this Husky Nation News broadcast are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. We've got a friend of the show in the studio with me today. One time he showed up to a party wearing an outfit made entirely of corduroy. That's when I knew I had to get him on the mic. Harris Israeli, what's up?
Hi, LJ.
That was so loud. Just me being like, yeah, hype. And then you're just like, oh, hey, what's up?
Oh, is my mic on?
Your mic is on.
Oh, okay.
Wait.
Because it says call.
Yeah, no, you're on. You're fine.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, how do you feel about the Jonas Brothers reunion?
I didn't know about the Jonas Brothers reunion. Can you tell me a little bit more about what's going on? Because as far as I knew, we got Nick, right?
Young. They're still brothers.
They're still brothers.
They didn't. So they're still brothers.
Okay.
But just a refresher, which ones were you naming?
So we got Nick.
Nick,
youngest,
yeah.
I believe diabetic.
There we go. That's money, people, right there.
The outcast one who's less attractive than the others. I think that's Kevin. That's also my dad's name.
Right, yeah.
Side note. And then we got main man Joe. I don't know where the age difference lies between Joe and Kev. Who's older?
Good question. A couple years. A
couple years apart. As far as I knew, they went their separate ways, but they were kind of B-listing, if you will.
Well, so Joe had like a band, or has a band?
Joe has a band.
DNCE?
Yeah, DNCE. I think they had a hit song a couple years ago. It was like Cake by the Ocean.
Of course.
Yeah, or something like that. But no, I didn't know they were getting they're doing a reunion.
Yeah, they just like did like a Twitter thing. They like reopened their Twitter, and then okay, this is digging back in the archives. So I, you know, very obsessed with the Jonas Brothers.
Really?
Still to this day.
Really?
I
Can you name
like
one of their songs.
We got SOS. We got Burning Up. Shut up!
You
asked. You're
gonna rattle them off. That's fine.
Well, so I've been to two Jonas Brothers concerts. Like I have a Jonas Brothers like World Tour 2009 like T-shirt like. I've been obsessed with the Jonas Brothers since I've been in, like, third grade.
So this is, like, a very contrived question. You realize I have nothing to do with the Jonas Brothers, so you asked me so you could talk about the Jonas Brothers. Is that what's going on?
You think I asked you to be on the show?
So you could rant about
the Jonas Brothers. You to be on the show last week because I knew.
Because you knew.
Thursday, the Jonas Brothers were going to announce their reunion. And I'm like, Harrison, resident Jonas Brothers expert, come and share your discourse.
You know I know so much about the Joe Bros.
Your hot takes.
Hot take on the Joe Bros, I liked them.
Well, is that a hot take? Is that a hot take?
That's a cold take.
Yeah, I would say it's lukewarm.
Lukewarm take on the Jonas Brothers, Harrison Zraeli.
Quote.
Them.
2019, like,
oh, yes,
yeah.
Econ 2019.
Oh, God. CLAS. Harrison's early CLAS
you
senior.
Know what, you know what
major.
I like they do in what do they do it in the newspaper? In the, what's it called? The Husky? No. What's the
Daily Campus?
The Daily Campus? Not
I shouted
the
them out several times. Oh, I'm also like obligated to. I have to because citation.
Yes, Daily Digest, Daily Digest.
Oh, the Daily Digest. Okay, that's the one. Well, that's not the newspaper. That's the one that tells you like what's going on, like events and stuff.
I've come to like the Daily Digest a little bit more recently.
Oh. Okay, I mean, okay. Did you know? I'm about to spit some knowledge.
Okay.
Susan Herbst is like the university president who like did like the Daily Digest. Like, before she became university president, you just get, like, email blasts from, like, all these random people that's like, come do our stuff.
Yeah. That was Herbst?
Yeah. Cause
like in charge of it.
I mean, I don't know if she was like, hello, my name is Susan Herbst. I'm the creator of the Daily Digest. But, like, I think she was, like, instrumental in, like, having like a streamlined like email newsletter for students like that.
That's cool, because I think the only email I like that UConn sends me, like of all the UConn emails I get, I think the Daily Digest is it's pretty good. You know, it's informative.
It's decent. Yeah, I mean, it really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was part of like a subreddit, like r/UConn subreddit, mm-hmm. about like stuff, like why do people hate Susan Herbst and like what has she done, like blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So.
I didn't know there was a subreddit. I didn't know there was a post on that subreddit.
It was pretty popular. Jeez. You should check it out.
I gotta hop back on. Reddit.
Yes, we love Reddit. I'm on the True Detective Reddit. Do you watch True Detective?
I absolutely loved True Detective Season 1.
Oh, no! I was so close to cursing by accident. fair. Like, True Detective Season 1, like, amazing.
Are you going to tell me something like I don't want to hear?
Well, no. Well, so you didn't watch, I'm assuming, True Detective Season 2.
No, I watched the first episode where Colin Farrell beats up the kid's dad, which I thought was cool.
Okay.
And then I started watching because I was like, masculinity. No, I want Woody Harrelson and I want
Matthew McConaughey
back.
See, so like, I watched Season 1. I'm not sure if I like was fully cognizant during it, like paying attention to what was going on. I definitely watched it and like, but I don't know, didn't watch Season 2. Got like back on it with Season 3. Mahershala Ali, Oscar winner.
Two-time Oscar winner.
Mahershala Ali.
Wait, it was for the most recent one was Green Book.
Green Book, and he did it for Moonlight. He won Best Supporting Actor twice. First Muslim actor to ever win an Oscar.
Not one, but two.
We love Mahershala Ali in this house.
Yes.
And that's Stephen cool. Dorff, who I had never actually heard of before. I think he's like a relatively well-known actor.
Stephen Dorff?
Yeah.
He doesn't sound like an actor. He sounds like an accountant.
You're so right. H&R Block employees.
Yes, H&R Block.
Dorff.
Yeah.
We love Stephen Dorff.
But with
a weird name.
A weird name.
Stephen Hartley Dorff Jr.
Oh, Dorff Jr.
Oh. Gotcha. He was in Blade?
Oh, well, it doesn't matter because he's like a good-looking dude. I was thinking he's going to be weird.
No. Stephen Dorff, like, looks like a little more forehead wrinkles got put on Paul Walker, R.I.P. Mm. You know, like,
you know, when I
it's
saw
the frosted
photo,
tips.
I thought it was Paul Walker.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more aged.
True Detective Season 3 was actually, like, incredible. I have to see how much time we
Is
have
it
left.
Over?
Yeah, they just ended, so 8 episodes, which I think was, like, pretty standard for the thing. Hmm. 18 minutes, which means we have about, like, 10 minutes left to talk.
10 minutes left. All right.
Around 10-12, so
we should stick to the script then, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I never fully addressed the Jonas Brothers reunion.
Oh, right.
Off the record.
Off the record, you're being fully recorded.
Off the record, I'm disinterested. On the record, I love the Jonas Brothers.
Right answer, Harrison.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I hope the song is good, because I think they released a song like a while ago before they... That's the thing about the Jonas Brothers reunion. I'm like, weren't they always brothers?
Oh. Well, I don't understand. I feel like it's not the natural course of action is to get back. All the boy bands separate, and then they go off and do their own thing.
Yeah.
So they must have been in sticky situations to get back together. You know, they must have needed... Unless they just
No, there's no way. Because, like, I was more Jonas Brothers discourse. I guess we're just going to drop the True Detective thing for now. Because Nick Jonas, like, very successful solo musician.
Yeah.
Stage performer.
Yeah.
Married to former Miss Universe famous Bollywood actress Priyanka Chopra.
Whoa.
Like, just recently. Like, a couple months ago.
How old is Nick Jonas?
He was born in 92. He was born September 16th, 1992, and I only know that because I used to be obsessed with the Jonas Brothers.
So what does that make him, like, 20?
He's 5 years older than I am. So, you know, 26. Math. Priyanka Chopra, I think, is, like, 10 years older than him.
Yeah.
Or not. But at least, like more than five, maybe. Maybe about five, I don't know.
Okay, well, you know, after a certain age, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, yeah. They seem to get along really well, because he seems super mature, and she seems like she's a childlike attitude, and I appreciate that.
Oh, that's good.
Balance each other out. Joe Jonas is getting married to Sansa Stark from Game of Thrones.
Right.
Sophie Turner. I love her.
Yeah, I like that couple. That's a cool couple.
That's sick. They look like they do so much cool, like, art stuff together.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They got a.
They go to Fashion Week. They go to museums. They go to Paris.
I saw a photo of them. They dressed up for Halloween.
Yo, that was amazing. Morticia and Gomez from the Addams Family. That looks so good.
Yeah, that was cool.
Kevin has been married for a few years.
Kevin seems like the least cool. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm sure in different circles he's cool. Cooler than I would say. I'm not saying Kevin Jonas is not cool. He's part of the Jonas Brothers, duh.
Do they all just play guitar?
Nick can play the drums and the bass and the guitar and the piano.
Okay, so all multi-instrument.
Yeah. Kevin, I feel like, is mostly piano, guitar, but mostly, like, known for playing the guitar. I think he was lead. Joe is more like rhythm guitar if he ever needed it. Joe's really good at using the tambourine.
Oh.
He used to use a tambourine back in the day.
If only I could just master the tambourine.
God, I hate that. I know that. Okay, so Kevin married got married, I don't know how long ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. He has 2 daughters, 2 kids. Mm. And his wife is a hairdresser, I think, from New Jersey. The Jonas Brothers are also from New Jersey. They had a reality show. Kevin and his wife had a reality show together called Married to Jonas that was on, like, the E! Network. Kevin is, like, a contractor. Hmm. He, like, has a real estate company where he... Right?
Yeah.
He has a real estate company where he, like, builds custom mansions or something and then just, like, sells them.
You know what I'm thinking back to? I'm sorry. This is
no, please.
Tangential.
No, go.
There's an episode of South Park.
Oh,
that,
God.
That, satirized the Jonas Brothers were Mickey Mouse.
Wait, I saw that. Yeah. Any and all Jonas Brothers content, you best believe I absorbed it.
Oh, yeah.
Like a sponge.
That was good, because I'm thinking maybe Kevin wanted to be a contractor since he was a child. And he was forced to perform.
Oh. Well.
Unless no child grows up wanting to be a contractor or having an idea.
Bob the Builder, very influential guy.
Oh, that's true. Was he a contractor, or was he just, like, a manual laborer, a carpenter sort of guy?
Who knows?
Yo,
who knows?
I'd like to watch Bob the Builder.
Let's unpack Bob the Builder. Next show, Harrison comes back and we unpack Bob the Builder and its implications.
You know what? I think I remember the animation of that was really...
okay. So, the early, like, animation for Bob the Builder was, like, kind of, like, stop motion.
It's
like
clay.
It was, like, clay type stuff. Now, it's, like...
Still going on?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's different iterations of it, but they totally changed the animation style to, like, flat, you know, like, normal.
Mainstream animation.
I guess, I don't know what the term for it is, but, yeah, it's not as fun anymore.
Yeah.
My brother, who's 16, like, obsessed with Bob the Builder. Like, not now, but, like, when he was a child. Like, he had, like, a costume. We had, like, Bob the Builder hard hats and stuff and everything, yeah.
Huh. I would wonder if, like, maybe Bob the Builder wouldn't be as popular now because it's, like, sort of reinforcing a very, like, man-do-work mentality.
He had, like, an associate.
An associate.
I want to say her name is Wendy.
An associate?
She was blonde.
Wow.
But I don't think they were, like, married or anything. She was just, like, his helper, and she was, like, in charge of, like, a lot of important stuff.
Hmm.
She's really chill. I don't remember. I don't know if I have a picture of it either. This is supposed to be like... Dude, wow, now I really want to watch this. My mom's old minivan had a DVD player in it. Classic, you know?
Oh, like the from the top? Fold
yeah.
Down. Yeah.
And she had like a... I can't multitask. I can't find it. We'll talk about it after.
Yeah.
About like whether or not this girl's name is Wendy. I should open this back up though. And my brother had like a Bob the Builder like winter themed movie, like where there's like the Olympics and Bob the Builder gets called in, got to fix the Winter Olympics or something like that. I don't know if they were predicting like Sochi or
That's
whatever.
So funny. That's like Bob the Builder. He's like, we need you for one last job. He's like, I'm retired.
Well, oh God. And. So then there's a concert, like a celebratory concert at some point during the DVD, like the movie. And my brother is probably about like 5 or 6 when we're watching this in our mom's car. And he loves this, like this DVD got played so many times it like became scratched. And there's like the celebratory concert where I don't know if it is Elton John or supposed to be Elton John, but like somebody performs the song Crocodile Rock by Elton John like during the Bob the Builder movie.
Huh.
I have to dig it up somewhere.
Yeah, that's, I don't know that song, but that, I mean, it sounds
really,
I mean, I'm sure if you played it maybe I would.
Yeah,
again, after the show.
After the show.
Yeah, that's an investigating to
ooh.
Here. Yeah.
But, yeah, no, that became my brother's favorite, like, Elton John song.
Hmm.
He was 5 or 6, he's 16 now, and he loves that song.
That's cool. I'm glad they, like, introduced some, like, classics into it. Like,
yeah.
That's good, you know?
They should have had, like, Beastie Boys, No Sleep Till Brooklyn, featured prominently in the Bob the Builder movie.
Beastie Boys, yeah. What's that, the one song by the Beastie Boys, Girls?
Mmm.
They should have put that in the.
Yeah, you had like the all the equipment. They had like anthropomorphic like building it like machines.
Oh, you're right.
Like
yeah.
Dizzy was the mixer.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm
now I remember they had all had
flexing
faces.
My Bob the Builder.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had faces and eyes and apparently hopes and dreams.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, and then Handy Manny, you know, just
you know way too much.
About, no, well, listen.
Is Handy Manny another show?
Handy Manny is, like, another show on, like, Disney Channel about.
This must be new, more new.
No. It was probably, like, 10 years ago. Like, 10 years ago, there's a cartoon about, like, a similar guy to Bob the Builder, like, loves building things, whatever. Handy Manny. Voiced by, I believe, Wilder Valderrama, the guy who played Fez in That 70s Show.
I never knew his name was Wilder Valderrama.
No, Wilmer.
Wilmer.
Wilmer Valderrama.
That's still a cool name. Wilmer.
I believe 2 R's. Valderrama. 2 R's, yeah.
Huh.
And it was really important because, like, Handy Manny, like, would count, like, in Spanish and stuff. So it was, like, good for bilingual, like, approach to, like, Disney Channel, or, like, had this motto, I think, like, about 10 years ago. They try to integrate, like, more, like, bilingualism and, like, multiculturalism, like, into their children's programs.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Thank God.
It's such a formative time. Like, I grew up speaking a little Spanish because I was, like, had au pairs in the household. Like, I was, because both my parents worked, so I had, like...
Harrison's flexing on us right now.
It's not a flex. It was just, like, there was, like, some strange 21-year-old woman, like, raising me for a little bit, and they would speak in Spanish, and that was, like, fun, and I think you soak up so much as a child that they should make all these kids' shows, like, or at least half of them, just in Spanish.
Yeah.
You know? I think, what is it, there's more Spanish speakers in Miami right now than, or maybe, like, the state of Florida? No, that's ridiculous, but in Miami, there's more Spanish speakers than.
Well, I use a disclaimer, so if you're lying, then, like, you're not going to get in trouble for it.
That's off the record anyways.
Right, I forgot it's off the record.
That's off the record. Unsubstantiated.
Unsubstantiated claims made by Harrison Sraley.
Yes.
Oh,
ooh, that'd
God.
Be a fun name for a show.
Podcast.
Unsubstantiated.
No, that would be so good. That would be so good.
I like this song.
Yeah. Feel Good Instrumental by Broke for Free. It's in our music bed, so it's like what we play when we do our thing, you know? What was your favorite, like, children's TV show, like, growing up?
Favorite children's TV show growing up? What did I like a lot? Oh, man. If I have to go really, really deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I didn't watch? I didn't watch any SpongeBob.
You're not the first person to tell me that.
Okay, thanks for saying that, because there's a lot
I'm
of
I'm not
people,
saying I didn't watch SpongeBob, I'm just saying, like...
Like, people throw around SpongeBob quotes all the time,
mm-hmm.
as if, like, it's a universal
Well, you've
thing.
Met Emma, right? My roommate,
yeah,
Emma.
Emma's a perfect example of that. She knows a lot, I mean, she knows a lot of SpongeBob-type things,
yeah.
you know? And I watched some SpongeBob, and I know the characters, but I don't know every... freaking episode, you know?
Watch yourself, Harrison!
No, don't worry, I have the reminder. Right
yeah, the reminder.
Me.
Harrison
yeah.
has a, for those of you listening at home, Harrison has a sign, like, in front of him that he wrote himself that says, do not swear. And I'm glad that he's respecting the space.
I'm respecting
and
the space.
My authority.
respecting LJ's authority.
Okay.
But no, I don't even remember a kid's show. I don't know.
Oh. All right. Well, I'll tell you about mine, but
I spent my childhood doing puzzles and brain teasers and preparing for the SATs.
All right, we're going to talk about this more off the air. Because sadly, we got to kind of cap this one.
We got to cap this one.
But I want to say thank you to Harrison for coming on the show. We're shaking hands. Wow, your hands are kind of cold.
I have Raynaud's disease.
Right, we've been over this.
Look it up.
We also want to say thank you to the Daily Campus and UCTV for collaborating with us. And a big shout out to Ethan Smith, the creator of our intro music. I've been your host, LJ Karam. I love Blackberries, Critical Thinking Skills, and True Detective Season 3. You're listening to WHUS Stories 91.7 FM. Have a wonderful weekend, and remember, drink more water. Signing off for now.